you.
Thank you.
Good Friday, and welcome to the Beauty Files. I'm Juanita, and I'm so glad you can join us today. Happy Friday. It's a little dreary out here, but hopefully the guest that we have today will bring a little sunshine, a little glimmer of hope and all that good stuff coming there. I don't know. We have a great show geared up for you. Hopefully later on in the show, we're going to be joined by our first guest. We had a little snafu early in the day or early in the show, and I guess that is the what happens when you have live radio. April Burns is going to be joining us probably later on now. She is going to talk to us about what fall eyes have to do with how good you should be looking with your new fall eyes, as far as, makeup application, what you should look for. I'm going to ask her, is there a difference between, what you can put on your eyes at 20 as opposed to what you can put on your eyes at 50 or, 50 plus or whatever. There are some things that you really should not be doing when you're 50 years old or older, or when you have a lot of issues as far as wrinkles or puffiness, and I can say this, I'm up there, and I do prep and prime a lot before I do my eye makeup now or my face, because I got a couple of flaws I need to correct. So I do know that that you do have to do more things with your face. So we're going to be joined by April Burns later on. She is a nation's leading fashion expert. She's an actress and a model, and she is going to give us some fashion tips when she comes, when we can catch up with her later on the show. But right now I have the pleasure of talking with Ashley, and am I pronouncing your last name Beauchamp or Beauchamp?
Yeah, you got it the second time, Beauchamp.
I got Beauchamp, okay, I see. My little French, no.
Yes, and Charlene is here with me as well.
Oh, and Charlene. Okay, so we have both Ashley and Charlene. Charlene, thank you for agreeing to come on a little earlier. Welcome to the Beauty Files. Today's show is, like I said, we're going to have April. But this part of the show is, I really love this. April and Ashley and Charlene are part of Fashion Show Innovations, which do a show called Real Women Shaping Styles, and it's a show that addresses domestic violence awareness and the great safe havens that house women and their family. And I was reading the information that I got, reading the stories, and I think this is the most wonderful event, because it not only addresses domestic violence, but it also embraces women that don't have the perfect size. What is that? Zero? Is that a size zero shape? So, ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
So now I'm going to start with April first. Ashley first. I keep saying April. I'm so sorry, Ashley. I want to start with Ashley first. Tell us your story.
April,
how did you get? I know it. It's like April, Ashley. April showers bring May.
Right.
But Ashley, what got you involved with this this organization?
Well, I actually met Charlene at another fashion show, oddly enough. It was a fashion show that incorporated, acting, drama, as well as fashion. And so I saw her, and she was telling me that she has a modeling agency and that it's for plus size, and so I'd be a perfect candidate for an agency. And so we exchanged contact information, and we both had some things that were going on at the time, so we couldn't really work on the modeling aspect. But she said, I'll get with you around fall. And sure enough, she did. She kept her word. She got in contact with me and said, this is what I'm working on right now, and, however you can help, you can also be a model, just let me know. And so when she told me the cause and said it was domestic violence, I said, wow. It's funny because I'm writing a book right now, and some of it is going to talk about the domestic violence that I was in. And so I'm actually a victim, and she didn't know that. So it just fit perfect, and that's what made me really want to jump on board. I was going to anyways because I'm a big fan of fashion, but that that sealed the deal right there.
So now, did you, you know, when you heard about this organization and you heard about Charlene and her fashion show, were you comfortable talking and are you comfortable now talking about, you know, your plight with domestic violence?
I am now. Never really spoke about it before after it happened, and this happened about 3 years ago. But I decided to write a book, and since I started writing the book, it's become more therapeutic, and it's helped me to be more open about talking about it, because I was always ashamed. I was ashamed. I didn't feel comfortable talking about it, but now I understand that me talking about it is what's going to help other women, and so I'm totally comfortable now. But
the last three years, I
haven't mentioned it to anybody.
Right, because I was going to say, you know, they're just from, you know, what I've been hearing, that a lot of women are, quote-unquote, like you said, ashamed, or they think it's their fault, or they feel, you know, embarrassed to even discuss it.
Yes, I definitely was feeling very embarrassed. And for someone of me, I've not to toot my horn, but I've a great career, I'm very accomplished, I've done beauty pageants, I have so many things going for myself. For somebody to hear that I went through that, they're going to say, like, what is wrong with you? You know,
right.
They're going to look at me like I'm crazy. So that's even more that I didn't want to speak about it because of that.
And, I keep, you know, hammering, but you sound so fabulous on the phone now, but I'm sure that back then, you probably just didn't think that you know, the whole thing about my self-work, my self-worth, my self-esteem, you know, this person, this other human being just basically demoralized me, or tried to, and look at you now.
Right. Thank you. Yes, and looking back on it, it's almost like it was a nightmare. It was like I was in a dream, because I still can't believe that I let somebody else put me down so much to the point where they thought they could put their hands on me or tell me I'm not smart or I do silly things. Or I look back at it like, what was I thinking? But at that time, when you're so hungry, you're looking for love and you're looking in all the wrong places, and then you find someone and you also have that white knight syndrome where you want to help people that have problems, you end up becoming part of the problem as well sometimes.
Right. And what advice do you give women that, and I'm sure you speak on this because you said you're writing a book or you wrote a book, what do you tell women that, you know, and can you tell the signs if someone is being abused at home? Is there a sign? Is there something that people should look for if a friend comes to them? And do you know the sign, or can people just, as you quote, fake the funk?
Well, that's a great question, Juanita, because that's kind of what I did, and which is why my book is called The Chameleon Smile, because I covered it up very well.
Wow.
But there are some little things that people who know you very well will start to notice. So for instance, my mom noticed that I began calling her less. I became more withdrawn from friends, family, and that's a tactic of the abuser, is to pull you away so that people can't notice what's going on. So that's a number one surefire sign that something's going on, is if someone that's very social, outgoing, you start to see them withdraw. They start talking to you less and less. They stop calling you. Like, that's a big sign that something's going on that they're not telling you. And then the other one is, you know, marks. If someone's being physically abused, you know, look for marks on their body and things such as that.
Do batterers make it difficult for victims to escape relationships?
They kind of do in a way, because after they do something, you'll see them turn around completely and put on this puppy face, and I'm sorry, and I didn't mean it, and I love you. And it's just, they come, it's amazing how they're almost like Dr. Jekyll and Miss Hyde. When they're the ugly person, they're so ugly, but when they become sweet, it's almost irresistible, because you can't believe, you say, okay, maybe that was just a bad day they're having, but when every day has a bad moment in it, then something's wrong, and they're taking it out on you. So they make it hard because they come back and they're even sweeter than they were before. They pull out all the right words, I'm never going to do it again, I love you, all kinds of things, and sometimes you just fall for it. You know, you believe you and hope. That's another thing. When you hope that someone's going to change, you hold on to that person, thinking that they're going to eventually do what they say they're going to do. They're going to stop hitting. They're going to stop verbally abusing you.
That's what my mother did. See, my mother was suffering with domestic violence. My father, and she kept thinking, oh, he's going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stay here for the kids, but they were trying to hang in because she had the kids and stuff like that. But it really, she really should have just moved forward and just left me. And we think about it now. We talk about it, my mother and I. We just, you know, you really should just walk away from that.
Yeah.
You know, and I deal with it because now I have brothers
mm-hmm.
that have grown up around that violence that mm-hmm. have learned from my father mm-hmm. and are now fighting that whole tradition of continuing that,
wow.
that legacy of just, you know, physical abuse. And they're learning, but it's like they still watch and learn this.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this, Charlene, since and thank you for joining in on the conversation. When you say that your mom was a victim, you saw all this. How did it make you feel as a daughter?
I kind of put on that face like Ashley was saying, you know, I was trying to be the good daughter that didn't want to be any other of a hassle or problem for my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be the good girl to do everything to make her proud, everything. So I watched it. You know, it's nothing I could do. My mom says I always respect her father regardless, you know, so I was kind of torn, but I still felt that anger inside. I had a lot of anger inside as a kid, you know, for him, you know. So, you know, I released all of that and just kind of moved forward and just try to do the best that I could, you know, for my mom. You know?
Did you resent your father, you know, for doing all that? I mean, well, I'm sure you did, but, you know, how did you...
I respected him, but yes, I did resent him for that, you know. It kept us apart, you know, we were estranged, you know. So even when it came to my wedding, you know, I did not want him to walk me down the aisle. I walked myself. I just thought it was hypocritical for him to walk me down like everything was hunky-dory, you know.
Right.
So I did myself. I walked myself down the aisle and everything, and I think that worked out best for everybody.
So now, are they still together?
No, they're not.
Okay.
You know, in fact, she stayed in there. You know, they separated a little bit. He kept coming back and forth, but he, you know, eventually sooner died.
Because that is another question that a lot of people ask, you know, if you're being treated in this manner, and we can't speak to it because we don't know, but why do people stay, A, or why do people go back, B, or I guess C, because they say they're going to change?
Mm-hmm.
Is that,
I think that's the number one reason, is that they say they're going to change, or sometimes you just look at it like, this is what I have to do. I have to stick through them, kind of stay by their side and help them get through it as well. Like, if you have that white knight syndrome where you feel like you can save the world, you can help everybody, you stay there hoping you can change them.
And as far as I'm concerned, I'm in a different generation than Ashley. I'm a little bit older than Ashley, so you can imagine my mom being even older, so she's in that generation where those, you know, husband and wife, they stay together.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of work things out.
For the kids, too,
For the sake of the kids.
Yep, that's another reason.
Now, we're going to get to the fashion show, but this is so fascinating. I've been getting questions on my email. That's why I'm staying with it, and I hope you guys don't mind this. I do want to definitely talk about the fashion show and the event because this is very important, too. But I'm getting a lot of questions. One question, if I can look like it's kind of the story. They said, did you know the person was like this before you married them? Were there any signs? Did something say, you know, ooh, I better watch out. I better not walk down the aisle with this guy.
For me, I didn't marry him. We were dating at the time, but I didn't see any signs until a little bit later, but I didn't know that was a sign of an abuser. For example, if someone gets angry very often for, like, the littlest minute things, for example, if you put a cup somewhere in the wrong place and they blow up because you put the cup in a certain spot and not another spot, then that person has anger problems. And anger problems are usually a number one sign of someone who's going to be an abuser. They may not do it right at that moment, but eventually they're going to get to a point where they snap and they do abuse you. So now if I see anybody that has the slightest bit of anger management problem, I run.
I don't blame you.
That's a sign.
One lady, I'm assuming that it's a woman, she said, do you find abusers are extremely jealous or controlling and they tend to move
quickly into a relationship.
Yes. Well, from, yeah, definitely controlling. Very controlling and jealous. That is correct. I experienced both of those when I was in the relationship.
And you were going to say something, Charlene?
Well, I can't really speak for my father. I don't think he was really controlling. You know, I think a lot of it, as I think about it, had a lot to do with his drinking. You know, and I think he some things that maybe he didn't think went right with his life, he was blaming everybody else. So he took everything out on everybody else.
He did the same thing.
You know, so all his troubles and all his, you know, disappointments in life, he took it out on everybody. That's the reason why I couldn't get this. Is because you did that.
Same thing, yes.
Wow. Did you find yourself, like, your self-esteem or your self-worth, did you find that you were feeling less attractive? I mean, because, you know, there are different types of abuse. I mean, there's physical and then there's verbal.
Right. Mine was more so verbal. At one point, it did get physical later on in the relationship, but from the very beginning, it was verbal. And it did make me feel... it did bring my self-esteem down. And that's one of the things that they actually do, because if you don't value yourself, you're willing to stay with them because you're thinking, who else is going to want me?
Right.
You know, with all the problems that I have. So they'll start to create problems that don't even exist. Say you have personality issues, you don't listen, they'll find all kinds of things. And as they start breaking you down, you say, okay, well, I'm lucky to even have this person love me because I have all these issues.
You start to believe it.
You start to believe it. Exactly. They're conditioning you.
That's a good word, conditioning. Because
that's
exactly. And do you find that, you know, they're going to do that to you because their self-esteem may not be that great, so they're figuring, well, I can do the same for her or him.
Yeah.
I mean, because
exactly
it does go both ways. I mean, a woman can be, am I correct? A woman can be... abusive to a guy.
Yes, they can. They
can go both ways.
Yes.
Oh wow. Yeah, this, you know, it's very, and I'm getting so many questions, and I want to get off of this because I want to ask about your fashion show, but I'm getting a whole lot of questions, and I guess it's a show that people you know, they. One lady said she loves you, and I guess she doesn't even know. She says she loves. I love Ashley. She's a wonderful human being. God bless her for leaving. Is there anything she can advise on me? I'm in an she's in an abusive relationship. Is there anything you can suggest or tell her to do? I mean, are there safe havens? I know they are because, you know, one of the things that this fashion show talks about when we get to that is providing safe havens for women in a relationship. But is there really a safe haven? Because, you know, I'm thinking somebody could find you.
Havens in terms of domestic violence through the Women in Distress.
Right.
And they're the largest agency ever out of Fort Lauderdale, but they also take care of victims in Miami as well as West Palm Beach. So they have several homes, a lodge, safe space. There's several of them. And they just need to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Go tell somebody. Don't keep it to themselves, you know, because it could be deadly. I mean,
they can.
You know, that one time he hit you, you know, it could be deadly.
Right. And do you find that you're finding more cases like this because of the economy? How things are going now.
Yes.
Finances.
Definitely stress. Yeah, finances.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking stress would play a big part,
You know, it's bad, but it's definitely happening more now with the economy.
And how do you figure if you have kids or sons and they've witnessed their father doing this to their mom or whatever, how do you, you know, steer them away from this is not the way you treat a woman? You know, how does it stop? How does the abuse stop with them? I mean, how do you tell a son?
Well, my brothers, you know, rather watching their fathers, they had other mentors in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. or other fathers of some of their friends that took them on, that would take them, you know, on trips and work with them and show them what a father is really supposed to be like. And I think that's what really saved, particularly my younger brother, you know, who didn't witness it as much as my older brother.
Right.
Just having a mentor, I mean, the wise, some type of his brother, something that someone could talk to him about how a woman should be treated.
Mm-hmm. Were you the only female in your family, I mean, daughter?
Yes, I was.
Oh,
three brothers and just me.
Oh, my gosh. And you had all brothers?
All brothers.
Oh, my. So, yeah, that gets
so
that would be.
Can you imagine how close I was to my mom, you know, it was like, you know, to watch her go through that, you know, so, especially when
right.
I went away to college, you know, I'm always worrying about how she was at home, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, Real Women Shaping Style with Curves, Confidence, and Cause. Tell us about that, Charlene. What is that about? What kind of fashion
this
show
is like,
that?
This is the fourth annual Real Women Shaping Style. It's just something specifically designed for women with curves. We wanted to show that beauty comes in all shapes and sizes. We wanted to be confident, and we wanted to showcase that in a fashion show where they were the headliners, they were the spotlight. And so this is the fourth year. We've done it as fundraisers for other organizations and charities like diabetes. We did Women in Stress before and Food for the Poor. So this year we wanted to go back to domestic violence because there's a lot of emphasis this month on cancer being October. There's a lot of pink around there, but we want to share some purple around there too for
right.
domestic violence. So on October 20th, we're going to do this big show, extravaganza with lots of designer showcases, showing the fashions for the women sizes 10 and larger. And we have dinner, a sit-down dinner. It's very elegant. You know, they have different shops and bar where they get to shop and find some little extra things, goodie bags, and it should be a nice, elegant affair to bring your girlfriends and just celebrate your curves.
Now, tell us exactly, where do you get your designers, like your designers who are part of your show, where do they come from? How do you find great designers? And how do you find designers now are doing work for all different types of sizes. As a matter of fact, more designers are doing more clothes for women who are size 12 and up because that's a bigger market now.
Yeah. Finally, they're getting it in the fashion industry that the majority of women are size 14 and larger. So a lot of the designers are finally extending their sizes from 10 and I guess to 16. We still have a long way to go. I was able to find a lot of designers here in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Palm Beach. As I've been in the business for over 30 years, you know, I kind of keep my eye on the pulse in terms of things
right.
going on, working in wholesale and merchandise before. So I was able to find some there. Plus, I keep in touch with a lot of the fashion industry and stuff industry in New York. So I was able to find two of the designers that would be showcasing Big Girls United, which they call it BGU, and Curves, actually out of Holland. So it's really out of the country, internationally.
Oh, wow. Wow. So I guess it was probably easy for you to get different types of clothes and stuff for your models.
Yeah, you know, but it's still a challenge, even for these designers. I mean, when I talk to them, just to say, especially for the local designers, they are out there. They have some beautiful things which you will see, but it's still a challenge for them to get to the next level. You know, the ones that are in New York, because they are there, they probably get there quicker, but even the ones in New York are still struggling for the department stores to understand that they need to embrace that larger woman. So there's still a lot of work to go, but we do have some designers here with lots of talent that you're going to see going to be fabulous clothes.
Oh, my God. What is the largest size woman that you have modeling?
I have a size 24.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And she works it, believe me.
because don't you think that it's refreshing?
Lots of personality.
I mean, don't you think it's refreshing to see, you know, especially with, and I love the expression that you use, work it, that you know, it doesn't really matter what size you are. If you can work it, you're still, you're just as fabulous as a size zero if you can work it. I mean, some people think they can, but when you really can...
You can really tell the difference when they know what they're doing. You know, it's not just feeling comfortable, but they know how to stay in control of their body. That's what I tell the models all the time. And I must bring this up, that
please do.
A health issue as well. You know, even as a plus model, they also need to be healthy. You know, to go up and down a 40-foot runway. By the time they get up and back, we don't want to see any tanning, any sweating, any short ankles, whatever. Like, they still have to be in shape, just like our straight-size model.
That is the misconception. The misconception is that when you're overweight or you're heavy or whatever, that you're not in shape. And it's funny because, or in the same instance, if you're old and you know if you're 70 years old, I mean, I can tell the story about my neighbor who's 70 years old and jogging, and it takes I'm out of breath walking up the hill, but he's just rolling along, and it just drives me crazy because that's the misconception. It's like, dude, what are you doing? You're showing me up here. I mean, you're 70-something years old. You're showing me up. He's just walking like it's nothing, and I'm huffing and puffing. But that's another misconception. Just because you're a certain age or a certain size, that we automatically think that we're not in that you're not in shape.
Right.
Yeah, and just in the last few years, I mean, they were calling, even at Lane Bryant, they were calling a plus size a size 8-10.
Oh!
And that to me was like a joke. The Lane Bryant catalogs are showing 8-10 models as their plus size, and finally they're getting it. That you can't fool that plus size woman. She wants to see that size 14, 16 size model. And thanks to stores like Ashley Stewart, where you now finally get that 16, 18 model on the billboards, in the catalogs, in the stores, you know, they can relate to that. And that's why Ashley Stewart is such a beloved store for, a lot of women.
Now, how does your event support the Domestic Violence Awareness Month or domestic violence? How does your event support that? Are all your models victims of domestic violence, or?
Actually, some are, but the majority are just plus size models, aspiring models. Some are professional models in the industry that wanted to give back to this particular project, and a portion of the proceeds will go towards women in distress, and they in turn will divide that up with the Miami and the Fort Lauderdale Safe Town.
Wow. So not anyone, but how do you choose your models? I mean, is there a certain look? Is there a certain, I wish I could come there myself and try to walk, but I'm telling you, the feeling that every time I see a fashion show and I see those women strut, I'm instantly transformed and I'm walking like that. It's a different, it makes you feel amazing to walk like that. And to see people looking at what you're wearing.
Yeah. Well, I did have a minimum requirement in terms of 5'7", in terms of the height. Because of the fit and the length of the hems, I didn't want to be coming too many outfits. So I started 5'7" and up in terms of the height. As far as sizes, like I said, I wanted double digits, so it starts with size 10 and larger. Walk the runway, good posture, you can walk a straight line, lots of personality, confidence. I wanted to see them, and I found a lot of great girls that wanted to do it for the cause.
Oh, my gosh. And you are you doing clothes, too? Are you designing clothes, too?
No, I'm actually a fashion design major, but no, I'm not designing
clothes. Oh, okay, because
I do style.
You do what? I'm sorry.
I do the styling for the clothes, like the coordinating of the clothes.
Okay. So, yeah. And that's important, too. I mean, you have the makeup and the hair. Are all these people volunteers for the event?
Yes, and in fact, I'm so excited about the cosmetic teams that have come forth from the fashion industry, Dawn Cosmetics and Gabrielle Productions. These are major cosmetic teams that will come in with their teams to give us this professional look. We have a boss cosmetology school out of Kendall who called and volunteers that they would do all the nails for the models. It's just been wonderful and overwhelming in terms of the kindness that people are giving for this event.
Wow.
We have florists, from Flowers by Grace is giving us, a beautiful bouquet for the bridal gown, because, yes, we do get married. The perfect girl gets married in style.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
That really
So we'll
sounds...
have everything from casual to evening to, like a wedding gown. So
Now that I have a little time with you, because our other guest hasn't come in, and I can ask you another question, what are you seeing as far as looks? you know, the looks that are that you are presenting for fall. Like, what do we need to look? Because this is what I was going to ask my guest. But what do we need to be looking for in the fall? What are some of the fall trends for plus size or regular size girls? What are you seeing?
Well, the look in terms of, I mean, everything kind of repeats itself. I remember, I'm trying to date myself, but I remember when the peplum was in, and when the 80s, 70s, late 70s, 80s, that full peplum look, that classic look with the belt. There's a lot of emphasis on the waist this year, with high waist and everything like that. Black and white is a very wonderful combination. You see it, normally people think, oh, my goodness, white, you know, in the fall, but, you know, white, crisp white, Jet Cruz, all shades of white are beautiful this season. Your jewel tone colors are going to be really beautiful this year. Your fuchsias, and of course, my favorite, purple.
Of course.
And the hunter green. I noticed that hunter green was huge on the runways for fall and plaid.
And the
plaid. That was another thing that I saw big on the runways.
Actually, is that houndstooth?
Yes.
Yeah, the houndstooth.
The houndstooth, too.
Yeah, I'm seeing the houndstooth too. But are you seeing a lot of and you know, I've been checking this stuff out too because I'm a fashion hound. But I love the peplum, love it. Back then, love it now.
Yeah.
Got it again. I wish I had saved it before because I had so much peplum in my wardrobe. But I love the equestrian looks.
Equestrian.
Like I'm about to ride a horse, and I'm just like. Someone says, oh, where's your horse? Oh, it's down the street. I just decided to wear my joffers and my riding boots.
Yes, I love riding boots, too. I absolutely love them. With some leggings and an oversized top, they just wear that anywhere. It looks
comfortable.
Really, yeah, comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
fur is, and fur is coming back, too.
I mean,
Juanita? I'm sorry?
The ankle boots. I mean, a lot of those ankle boots are just awesome this season. You know,
yeah.
They come in the suede and the leathers and two tones and color blocking. You know, you're going to see a lot of that too. You know, the real shorter boots.
Yeah, I love all that. I love all the vintage stuff. I love the fact that stuff is returning. Some of the stuff from the 40s. You know, you got the capelets. You have your fur that you know. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people don't feel like fur,
right?
But I love fur. I mean, I love fur. I love faux fur, and I love real fur. But I love the fact that you can drape it over anything, like a shawl or a cape. The capes are fabulous.
I
love the cape.
I'm doing a flashback to all my design patterns, all my capeless stuff from the 70s.
See,
you know, faux patterns, you know?
It's return. It's like if you saved everything that you had from back in the day and just go in that suitcase and get it, it emerges today.
Just make a little adjustment, you know.
Either take it in, you know, hopefully taking it in, but if you take it out, okay, take it out.
And take out the shoulder pads. So that was a big
yes.
Oh,
God, take
70s.
Out the shoulder
now everybody's
pads.
Like, you can go back, but take those shoulder pads off.
Oh, my. Take the shoulder. Burn them in effigy. That the shoulder pad needs, but they'll come back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, somebody's going to stick them in someplace. I mean, they're gonna come back. I mean, I guess they come back as butt pads now.
Oh, boy.
But I love anything that's forgiving. You say. I love the patches and as far as makeup, what are you seeing as far as your because you're over this fashion show, so you have to pick the look that you want your girls to look. Is there a certain type of makeup that Ashley has to have on? You know that you want your style team to do.
Well, we're fortunate enough to have, like I said, some great makeup teams, so we're going to be able to do two looks on the models. One for the first half, which would be all the day looks. And then the evening look. So you're going to see a transformation from that fresh, sort of dewy face look for a day, and then to add more vibrant color from the lips to the eyes for evening wear. You know, the story is color.
Oh, wow.
Even
what
on
about
the lips. I mean, you would be surprised to have them not just a red lip, but, you know, a green or, you know, a pink or stuff.
Because, you know, in a fashion show, in the fashion world, you know, you go to a fashion show and you see some looks and you're like, my God, I could never wear that outside of this show. But it's just nice to see someone go over the top. And I'm telling you, Ashley, and I know you've already experienced this, but walking down that runway, you must feel amazing walking down that runway.
Yes, I do.
Like strutting your stuff, sashaying, and looking at people going, yeah.
Yes, I look fabulous, basically.
I mean, because
yes.
I saw your face. You're so beautiful, and I can just only imagine what you are looking like or what you are, your whole attitude, not just because it's a fashion show, but because of where you've been and where you are now.
Thank you. Yes, definitely that's something that many people have always told me. Just even walking daily, I walk with a confidence. Mm-hmm. I hold my head high, and I'm proud of even the mistakes that I've made because I've learned from them. That's the most
right.
important thing. I've learned from them, and so I do carry myself with a confidence, and I'm proud of what I've accomplished, and I definitely portray that on the runway.
And Juanita, that's what drew me to Ashley. We sat together at that fashion show. And it was just something about a positive energy. It just kind of glows, you know. Just
wow.
confident, you know, that, you know, just want to talk to her. We just started chatting like
yeah.
crazy, like we knew each other for years.
Yeah.
So, you know, she is a very positive, beautiful person inside and out.
Thank you.
And I think that's important when you're trying to overcome something or when you're trying to project a newer image. If you continually look withdrawn or act withdrawn or sullen or whatever, it does project out, and people see that. But if you are starting to feel yourself and you're trying to tell yourself, you know what, my self-worth is so amazing right now that the next person that comes into my life is going to see that and will never know where I've been.
Yeah, right. Yes,
we'll never
exactly.
know where I've been because I feel so amazing now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
you
I'm telling you that.
You have to believe it first before anybody else believes.
Yes,
it, you know?
That's definitely
exactly.
true.
Exactly. You have to believe it first because no one else can give you that self. You have to, you're right, Charlene. You have to say to yourself or believe it that you really are, your self-worth is so much more important than anything else out there.
Exactly, yeah.
But, oh, and, okay, let me ask okay, someone. What about hair? The hair, you know, they're asking, your hair. Does anyone, do you have any, like funky hair? Because I love the return of the afro. I feel like I'm talking to my girlfriends on a conference call. I love the return of the afro.
Well, you know, just natural hair in general is the end thing now. Everybody's going natural, you know,
right.
however their hair is, they're going, you know, and they're accepting it. Just being themselves, you know. So that whole afro, I agree with you. I just don't have as much as I used to.
Well, you can if you want it, Melody. It's always available.
But now, you know.
Because I love the fact that the natural hair is back too. I love that and. I love the fact that we are embracing it as a society because, like, everything is just coming back. Back,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was looking
yeah.
at the March on Washington, and I was looking at some of the footage, and I saw a lot of the stuff that was there now.
Mm-hmm.
I see
mm-hmm.
it all.
Just like a flashback, huh?
Except for the men that, you know, still refuse to pull up their pants. But other than that... And do you have men in this fashion show too, Charlene?
Have I what?
Men.
You have men in this fashion show?
No, but we've been thinking about it. We've been getting a few calls, and it's been very irresistible. I might have to add a few by Monday.
Oh, my God, by then.
I'm sure the other models will enjoy it.
Well, you got, and how many models do you have in the show? I'm sorry.
Is that a request, Juanita?
Yeah. No, let me say. Love to watch a good man sashay down the runway. No.
Okay.
What
we can do.
And I forgot what I was going to ask you. Oh, my God, I forgot that quick. Darn it. Oh, yeah, about the designers. I meant to ask you that because I got a question about that. What some of the names of your designers? I'm going off track.
Designers we have Sarah Meek, which is out of Palm Springs, beautiful evening dresses. We have Sarah Dupion. She also has this one with the bridal dresses, Voluptuous You. We have Toshiba Fashions, Ease Treasures, Curves from Holland, Big Girls United, and I think that's it. Oh, and Ashley Stewart.
And do you do this only once a year, or is this more than one time a year, or are you thinking about doing this more times a year?
No, once a year. I'll do it once a year, but I have been doing what I call full fashion exchange, which is like a networking event for plus-size women, and it's sort of a, you know, like cocktails, we have vendors, stuff like that, so it's like a, you know, meet and chit-chat type of event. And I do that twice a year. I do a spring, summer, and then a fall, winter. But since I'm doing the show this year, I skip the fall, winter. So at least I do that just in between the year. You know, I will do a network event.
Right, right. And, you know, I'm reading your press release. And for those people who don't know, what is a safe house? We talked about it a little bit earlier, but what exactly is a safe house? And what does it provide for women? Or how does it help women who are going through domestic violence?
Well, they're actually homes, secluded homes that only the people from the agencies will, you know, let that particular victim know about, so that the people that are after them won't find them. But they're actual homes, secure homes, the families, the wives and families can go to for protection, and there are several locations that they have, and they don't tell us where all these locations are, but they're all over South Florida.
And is that safe haven, it's not just for her, it's for her family as well, or her children?
Family as well, yes. And that's why there's been such need for support, you know, because they have to provide food and shelter, clothing sometimes. And sometimes they leave with nothing in hand. You know, they need clothing as well. And then it surprised me in working with them, they even need cell phones. You know, people normally throw their phones away and stuff like that. They collect cell phones. So people are thinking about, you know, donating. And the next time they get rid of that fancy phone, just, you know, give them a call as women in distress.
Women in distress. Yeah, because I donated, I had some old phones, and our police station was collecting phones for women of domestic violence. And, you know, I didn't know what they were used for, but it does make sense. It's like, you know, they need a phone to call.
Yes, yes.
Call for help.
To start all over, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to have a new phone and just to go through life.
Right, exactly. And Ashley, you know, you're being a model. You're helping with this. Tell us a little bit more about your book. What is entailed in your book? And I love the title of your book.
Thank you. Yes, it's called The Chameleon Smile, as I mentioned before, and it's basically a memoir. And I'm going to go through all the not all of them, but the majority of the relationships that I've had. And as a young woman who was hungry for love and didn't really know how to be treated, I just knew I wanted to get married. You know, I dreamed of my fairy tale wedding so much. And so I kept getting into these relationships with just the wrong people in general. And so I really wanted to just write this to help other women who are kind of love addicts and are looking for love, that going to all these different guys really isn't going to help. It's just going to make things worse. And ultimately, you have to find that one thing that's going to help you feel loved. And for me, it was God. Finding God and building faith in it, building my faith in Him and feeling the love that He has for me, it helped me to realize that I'm a beautiful person. He has so much more in store for me than I could possibly imagine. And so it's not healthy for me to just keep going out trying to find it myself. Let me just surrender it all to Him and let Him bring me my Boaz, my future husband, the guy that's going to cherish me for the ruby that I am.
Right.
And so I just want to cover each relationship and some of the things to look for, because you might not even realize it, you know, with an abuse or some of the things to look for, like I mentioned, anger management. And sometimes there's guys who lie about their married life. They tell you they're not married and come to find out they are. And just different ways to find out these things about these men that have their little tricks and games and, you know, how to overcome it and ultimately just wait on the guy that God has for you.
And do you think that, you know, they're I'm playing devil's advocate, we are what we attract. Do we tend to attract these type of men?
Yes,
you find women that are getting
that too. Yes, definitely not having that self-worth that I mentioned before is what attracted it. But now, the way I carry myself now, there's people who wouldn't even approach me. You know, like, okay, I have no chance with her. So definitely realizing your self-value, your self-worth, you won't put up for these things from these men. So
right. That's
another thing that I do want to cover as well. Realizing who you are and how valuable you are.
Because I guess if you continue to track the same guys, there's something within you
that is
projecting something that is attracting these same type of guys.
Right.
So how do you change that? Or I guess prayer.
Yeah, prayer definitely helped me. That's something that strengthened me so much since I've accepted the Lord into my life and really just let go of all these other things that I thought I needed and wanted, and it turned out that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. We as people, we feel like we need so many things. We feel like we need love, like this person. We feel like we need all this money, you know, material things. And come to find out, really, all we needed was just God's love. And that just helps you get through every single day. It helps me, you know, speaking from experience.
That's a great point. Because we do assume, or we always think that we need so much. And we really, you know, if you start to think about it, you really don't need that much to be happy.
Yeah, we don't. We really don't.
I mean, you know, just to be happy, we don't really need that much. But, you know, like you were saying, this has been a great conversation. I have to touch on one other. Wait, I got another question for Ashley. Are you nervous about being in the show?
No, I'm actually very excited. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't done a show yet this year. My last one was last April, so I'm really excited. And definitely, like, right before I get on the steps to get on the stage, there's a little bit of nervousness, but as soon as I get on the stage, it's just, like, it's completely gone, and I'm just excited. I'm excited to walk down the runway.
Girl, after you get that face beat, you're going to feel fast. You're going to look at yourself and say, is that me? Oh, let me get on the runway.
Yes.
Let me show them what I got. And one lady asked, let me see, I'm looking at this, let me see if I can read it. It says, oh, what size are you, Ashley?
I'm actually a 12-14. So depending on the dress, you know, some designers cut clothes differently. Some clothes I can actually wear a 12, and then others I wear a 14.
Yeah, what is that? You know, I mean, if you get vintage clothes, like if you go to a consignment store or a thrift store or whatever, or you go to a place where they sell vintage clothes and you try to put on a size 10, it won't even go on my arm.
Yeah.
I'm a size 12
now. The measurements change, the charts change, you know, every generation, you know?
Yeah.
So you're you know, if I can put on a size 10 or 12 pants, it's really what? Because I'm going to keep those if I can get them. If I can get a size 10, I'm going to put the label outside of the pants. But
right, definitely if I find something that's a smaller size and it fits me, I get so excited. But I
get psyched. It's like, you know, it's like, do I have something on my back? Oh, can you stick that tag back in?
Yeah, but you know, one need to just think, if the years when Marilyn Monroe was wearing her 10, that would have been too big for you. You know, they kept changing the numbers, you know, so, you know.
So Marilyn Monroe's 10, really? Because I love Marilyn. I mean, I thought she was just the sexiest thing, and I love the fact that she had the curves and everything.
The curves were in then, you know, so.
So when did we come away from the curves?
Right?
Yeah, when did that happen? When did curves become bad? I always thought curves were great.
I don't know. I think it's that entertainment business, you know?
Yeah.
Going smaller and smaller, and then I think the industry, fashion industry, just kind of caters to them. You know, you think about the high-end department stores, you know, just to make that woman feel good that she got into a smaller size, they would call it that smaller size, and I think it just got out of hand.
Okay, Charlene and Ashley, one last question. This is going to be real catty, but when do you tell a woman that, you know, that leather is not for everybody? I mean, there are some leather, just because it's your size, when do you stop and tell someone, you know what, do you stop and tell them, I love you, I think you're great? But
do you stop and tell them?
Well, if I'm in a moving car, no.
I think you can suggest how you can accessorize it and style it a different way. You know, maybe they shouldn't show the whole leather pants from the waist to the feet. You know, maybe kind of wear that cute little cheap trimmings over it. You know,
leave something to the imagination, huh?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it's a tactful way to tell anyone anything. I mean, you know, I had someone that told me I thought something looked great on me, and they, you know, she's a very good friend, and she kind of pulled me aside. She said, do you know how ridiculous that outfit looks? And I'm like, I thought I'd look kind of cute. She goes, only in your mirror.
Aww.
And but, well, you know, but when I looked at it, she took a picture of me, and she said, this is what I see. And I said, oh, God. You know, it's like,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just
but she was very.
In a tactful way, me with anything that I do, I'm going to give someone any type of constructive criticism. I'll give them a compliment first. I'll say,
right.
You know, you have beautiful features here. You have a beautiful, you know, legs or whatever. And say, here's how you can make it, you know, highlight that instead of saying, you know, you look horrible in that.
Yeah,
right.
Let's see how we can make you look better than what you look now.
And that's important. I mean, because everybody wants to feel like what they purchased or they bought, you know, and they thought it looked good in the store or whatever mirror you were looking in looked good. But you do need that friend or that person that would just come to you and say, you know what, God, that is a great color for you. But.
Yeah, I agree
with that.
I mean, everybody needs that friend. Everybody needs that friend. We all need that.
I try to be that friend.
Yeah, we need that friend that's, you know, those lashes. Yeah, they look good, but they're a little too long for you at the office.
Yes.
Yeah. We need those type of friends.
The leather. My pet peeve is the women in leggings.
Yes, with short skirts.
Yeah,
that's
what has to stop.
Yes.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop the shiny leggings now. I mean, leggings are cute.
The leggings, they call them leggings, but they're really tight.
Yes.
And
they're tight.
They're underwear, panties, all underneath it, and that is just not.
That's not cute.
It's not fashionable. It's not anything, you know.
Yes.
And don't allow your Spanx to show underneath your skirt. I'm just saying, the wind blows. Don't let us see your Spanx. Spanx are a great invention. I love them. I use them. I worship them. But I don't want to see them when someone's walking and the wind blows and all I see is Spanx. I just think, you know they're showing. You know that they're long. I mean, just be conscious, you know, because everybody is beautiful in everything. You just need to know how to make yourself look beautiful in it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Ladies, it's been...
when you leave the house.
Yeah.
I'm looking my best.
Right.
Ladies, this has been a pleasure. I am so glad you spent the hour with us talking about the fashion show. And Charlene, I want you to give our audience one last time. Tell us about the fashion show, the event, where it is, the cost, all that good stuff before we leave.
Okay, this is the fashion show, Real Women Shaping Style, is Sunday, October 20th from 4 to 7:30 at the DoubleTree by Hilton Miami Airport and Convention Center. That's 711 Northwest 72nd Avenue in Miami. The tickets are $50.75, but we have some great specials on our Eventbrite page where you can get two for $80 or two VIPs for $135. And that comes with a complimentary drink and a wonderful gift bag. To get tickets, they go online at Real Women Shaping Style 4.eventbrite.com. So that's Real Women Shaping Style 4.eventbrite.com. And there are a lot of ticket options there. Guaranteed a wonderful, fashionable time.
That sounds fabulous. And again, that's www.realwomenshapingstyle4.eventbrite.com. Real Women Shaping Style, the number 4.eventbrite, and Bright is spelled BRITE.com. And you can get more information about the show, about the event. Ladies, it has been such a pleasure having you on for the entire hour. I really do appreciate you spending time and giving me your time on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you.
It was awesome.
We enjoyed it so much.
It was so enjoyable.
It's like I was talking to my girlfriends. I thoroughly had a wonderful, wonderful show today. I appreciate you taking the time to do this for me.
No problem. Thank you for having us, Juanita.
Thank you, Juanita.
Oh, no problem. And keep up the good work, Ashley.
Thank you. I'll let you know when the book comes out. I'll send you a copy.
Please do, so we can talk to you more about the book. And thank you guys for being on the show and listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Join us again. We are going to, on our next show, we're going to talk about the Metropolitan Cooking Show that's happening in Washington, D.C., and we're going to also talk to some sponsors of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That is in October. So I hope you will join us then. And until then, you stay good, stay beautiful. Bye-bye.